You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
What a doozy week one has been in the NFL. There's still one more game going on tonight. Chicago versus Minnesota.
Where is that game? Is it in Chicago? It's either in Chicago or Minnesota, right?
No, it's in France.
Unless the
actually.
NFL is doing a neutral site Monday game in Paris.
No, it's in France. No, it's in Chicago. 7:15.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Tonight, Buck and Aikman on the call.
First Monday night game of the year.
Yeah.
France.
Yeah.
Hey, we didn't talk about it, and we're an hour into the show already. Douchebag fan who punched Lamar in the helmet last night, pushed Lamar's head, and then Lamar went back after him. I support Lamar 100% on that. You're a Buffalo fan, and you're sitting in the front row, and you push a dude's helmet. You better expect to get your ass kicked in a football game like that. Like, come on, man. Don't do that.
Gosh, Derrick Henry's just an ageless wonder. Good for him. So Saturday was a pretty big game, Missouri versus Kansas, and I'm sitting there Saturday night kind of collecting my thoughts about what this game was. And I thought for a second that there was a moment, at least maybe I'm just being a neutral fan in this game, where I feel like there was a lot of people in Columbia as Tiger fans that were very similar in the mind process of where Royals fans were in 2014 with Ned Yost. Now I'll explain. Let's start with Ned Yost. When Ned Yost put Yordano Ventura in that game against the A's, and he gives up that home run to Brandon Moss, and it's 7-3, there probably wasn't one Royals fan in that crowd that was supporting Ned Yost, that was ready to have him come back. They wanted probably Ned Yost out of town.
Well, let me take you kind of behind the scenes on that, because it was a bizarre night at the ballpark. Remember, Henry left early and missed the end of the game. And Josh and me and Spectre were all there trying to prepare a morning show as this is all taking place. And there were numerous times in that night where we had different topics in there of Ned is great. Wow, that was awesome. To fire Ned. It's in the sixth inning. To, oh my God, Ned is here. Oh my God. Like the range of emotions just from the three of us going through and creating what we wanted to talk about in that situation. Yeah, all the fans were going through that. And to this day, I've had people tell me if they would have lost that game, odds are pretty good. A lot of people get fired after that game.
And Ned Yost, we know now, is the winningest manager in Royals franchise history. Also the losingest manager, because that's how baseball works. You play 162 games.
But again, and he was tenured for probably the longest amount of time of anybody, too.
In that moment, I think there was a lot of people that were like, get his ass out of here. I'm tired of Ned Yost. And I go back to Saturday, and you know, Eli Drinkwitz has been great at Mizzou. I think seven total losses, has an 800 win record. Done very well, but that's Kansas in Columbia where you're supposed to win. Like that was Missouri was 5.5 point favorites. At one point it was 6.5 and you're supposed to win that game. And KU was just doing whatever they wanted. Your defense didn't look great. If you're Mizzou, you had the, Pabula does that run, gets hit, fumbles. KU picks it up, takes it into the house. Yep. All of a sudden everyone's going in that crowd at that moment's going, I don't know if Eli's the guy. And I'm not saying that everybody in Columbia was feeling that way, but it's like, man, if we can't beat Kansas, right? Because how many times in Ohio are they, hey, I have a crystal ball in our hallway. Yeah, but did you beat Michigan? No.
No.
Well, you need to beat Michigan first, right? Take Mac, for example. If you go to Tennessee, did Peyton Manning beat Florida? He didn't. But was he a great quarterback? He was, but he never beat Florida.
You know, it's funny about Tennessee. My daughter said to me yesterday, she says, it's my dream to go watch the Vols play in Tennessee. I go, the Vols. Huh? Yeah. Why do you want to watch the Vols? And she's like, I like the entrance. I like the songs. I like the stuff that goes on at that kind of stadium. I'm like, all right, we'll send you down there to take a look at that stuff. But no, I mean, I think if you're Missouri, you went into that game thinking we have to win. And we were at a wedding on Saturday night, and a lot of guys were watching the game on their phone and doing all of that kind of stuff. And Missouri won the game, and there was a big cheer, right? And it was after the ceremony, so everybody's kind of cocktail hour sitting around, you know, cheering and whatnot. And guy comes up to me and he goes, man, he goes, now I know what it's like to be a Kansas basketball fan playing against Missouri basketball. I go, what do you mean by that? He goes, it wasn't fun to win. We had to win. Like, the stress level that we had to win this game is like, I imagine the stress level that you guys have in basketball. You can't afford to lose this game. You're better than us. You're supposed to win. That's the way it's supposed to be. He goes, I'm glad we got the win. He goes, that was stressful. That wasn't a fun win. That was like, we have to have this win. If we don't win this game, we suck.
Right. And I was in a house divided. There were Mizzou fans that were, you know, graduates that came by, and they had their kids all decked out in Mizzou gear. It was cute and fun. And then I had KU fans there as well. And the result was the same for Eli that it was for Ned. Like, they ended up winning the game, and everybody's like, you know, they came back and won. Mizzou came back and won. Everybody goes, all right, we're good. We're good. But I'm almost positive at one point there was probably some thought in their minds, like, Eli can't beat the Jayhawks? Like, we're going to lose to Kansas at home?
I was even thinking about that. I was like, if Missouri loses this game, what are the Missouri fans going to say about Elijah, right? Because you've got to win that game. You're the SEC, right? And as we've known, Dusty, over the last couple of years, the SEC has gone around and told everybody they're better than everybody else, right? And so when you play these interleague games, the Big 12 versus the SEC or the SEC versus the Big 10, yada, 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 you got to be that team from the SEC that wins those games. You got to wave that flag and wave that banner. And so the Missouri win was fun for I think, for Missouri fans, but also I can understand very stressful and relieving for Missouri fans. Like, they should have had more fun enjoying that win. Instead, they were all concerned that what if we don't win this game and Kansas does? And so I totally understand that feeling. It's like with the Chiefs at times, you know, you don't exactly get so excited about the win because you were supposed to win. It's more of a relief than anything. All right, let's find a way to give people a Hy-V gift card. Here's what we're going to do. Every day this week at this time, we're going to give one fan the opportunity to register for a $500 Hy-V gift card. We're going to award that at the end of the week. It's your chance to score big with Name That Chief. Listen every day this week at 7 o'clock for your cue to call and take a shot at guessing the mystery Kansas City Chiefs player on air. Get it right, and you'll be in the running to win a $500 Hy-V gift card, and that's perfect for loading up on groceries, tailgating supplies, and all your game day essentials. It's all brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. If you know this mystery chief, be caller number 5 to 913-586-7965.
Empty backfield this time, Kansas City. Now they sprint Rashard Smith, the rookie in motion, swinging all the way to the right flat. Short roll, right side throw. It's caught! 15-yard line, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, they get open for 37 yards and a touchdown. And now Patrick Mahomes, with that touchdown, has the most passing touchdowns in NFL history by a quarterback before reaching 30 years of age.
And there it is. Caller number 5. You got a chance at what? A Hy-Vee gift card?
You got a chance to be one of five qualifiers for a $500 Hy-Vee gift card. We're going to qualify somebody every day at this time.
Heck yeah.
And on Friday, we will draw the lucky winner of the five qualifiers for $500 from Hy-Vee.
Love it.
Where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Aisle was one of the worst words I ever tried to spell in my life.
A-I-S-L-E?
Yeah.
Or I-S-L-E, depending on the
aisle. E-A-L-G-E, aisles. Yeah. I can never spell aisle or dinosaur. I don't know why. I'm just
dinosaur.
Not really.
I'm trying to think of the word that I've had the worst.
I didn't know it was dinosaur. That's how I had to learn how to spell it. Wednesday was a tough one.
Wednesday. But if you pronounce it Wednesday.
Wednesday, got me. Yeah. Yep.
And February, like if you pronounce it like it's written, you'll nail it every time.
Coming up on the other side is the great linebacker in Chiefs history, Derek Johnson. We can talk to Derek Johnson on the other side here. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and four-time Pro Bowler.
Eric Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derek Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, "Oh man, we gotta figure this out."
Here's number 56, Derek Johnson, with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
The time of the season. It's NFL season. It's Chiefs season. So it's Derek Johnson season. Brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member-owned, open to all. Community America Credit Union, invested in you. We are now joined by Chiefs linebacker and great Derek Johnson. Can I start off with a little bit of a hot topic, DJ, if you're okay with it? What was your opinion of Drew Tranquil getting in the ass of Chris Jones at the end of that game?
As being a linebacker, first of all, being a linebacker, we control a lot of things on the defense side of the ball, not just Nick Bolton, but when you're a linebacker. And it's nothing personal. It's one of those things where it's a frustrating moment. But, again, it's communication between teammates, and it gets heated at times, just like family members. But I'm sure it was nothing taken out of context or off the field, but yeah, it was a little heated moment that the TV caught on site. But it is what it is, right? We all have a job to do, and we want to hold each other accountable. And I'm sure Chris Jones is he's the best defensive lineman in the NFL. Currently, and just being able to do his job and stay outside, maybe contain more or be more aware of the coverage in the back end, knowing that you can't give up. You got to keep the quarterback in the well, and that was a big, big play at the end of the game that we needed to happen for us.
You know, I immediately thought of you when that play happened, DJ, because I remember conversations over the years in the locker room where you're like, man, I got to do my job. The minute I start trying to do somebody else's job, now we got two people not doing their job. And that's kind of what that reminded me with Chris Jones. Like, he was trying to do somebody else's job, didn't do his, and zoop, 13 yards later, the game's over.
Yeah, and that's a tough lesson to learn. It is the first game of the year, so you have some uncharacteristic things that happen. Because we never have that problem with Chris. That's not a thing. You know, he can rush inside or outside and still keep contained. But in critical moments, you got to be even more detailed. And I'm sure he's kicking his butt more than anybody else is.
When you watch that game and you see Juwan Taylor constantly getting flagged, and then again we see Travis Kelce kind of pulling out his inner Drew Tranquil, Travis Kelce and Mahomes kind of have that clout where someone's not doing their job, they can kind of get in the ear hole and be like, hey, pick it up. When you see a guy like Juwan Taylor and then you see that interaction between he and Travis Kelce, I think with me at least, I'm on Team Travis because it's like, hey, man, you are costing us in crucial times. And sometimes, you know, when I was a kid and I'd mess around too much, my dad would have to get that dad voice. We all know what that dad voice is, right? Where you get a little bit deeper and you got to let your kid know, like, hey, this is serious. This is what I want you to understand this. Like, that's what that moment was, right? Because, like, that sort of stuff just can't happen, DJ.
Yeah. Self-inflicting wounds. Football's already hard. So when you have self-inflicted wounds and certain things that happen where you say, man, we got too many things to get done and the chemistry's got to get going and the flow of the offense and the defense has to go. So when you make, I would say, silly mistakes on the field, which happens, right? You know, it's never going to be perfect, but especially in crucial times, especially when you start slow like we did offensively and then going down the stretch when you have 10 penalties, that's not what Andy Reid team does. And it was a little frustrating at times. There were some good spots in there. It wasn't all bad, but we started too slow. And then when you do that, Everything else is really crucial because you can't mess up anymore because you started so slow.
Yeah, you start slow, and then eventually you're just going to run out of time, and that's kind of what happened with them, you know, the other night. So how do you start fast, both on offense and defense? And I honestly, DJ, I can't believe we're having to have that conversation about a team that's been to the AFC Championship game for the last 7 years, like getting better starts in games, you know?
Yeah, that's what I would, if we had this talk before the game started, I would say, no, we'll start fast. That's just, you know, we'll be ready to go. But again, you know, you travel internationally, you're over in Brazil, not that they were there too long, but it's just, it's different. It's very different. They had to wait all day. I think it was 8 or 9 o'clock when they actually started the game over there in Brazil. But honestly, third downs was a big deal. Just making more emphasis on third down. I don't think we had a converted third down the first half, which is, you know, and we still had a chance to win the game. So that tells you that, hey, when we do the things that we usually do over the last past 6, 7 years or whatever, this is going to be a team to be reckoned with. This doesn't scare me any. Divisional games are always tough. The only disappointing part is just starting slow, and now everything is backed up. Now on defense, hey, Chris Jones, you can't, you know, we need to get the ball back because we started slow, or you know, we haven't been, we got to convert more third downs in the second half, and now the pressure's even on even more. Now you got to have Pat Mahomes put on his, you know, put on his cape because, you know, not running the ball as well, and it's just, you know, a Worthy got hurt, so Juju and Brown did well, though. Did really well. Probably got to get Kelce ball a little bit more, but 10 catches for Hollywood Brown, which was pretty awesome.
When you look at this game, that we got to throw that game away. It's a loss. It's on your record for the rest of the season, no matter how you look at it. There's a red L next to that week one schedule. You got a big, bad Philadelphia team coming into Kansas City at 3:25 on Sunday here in Kansas City, and I hate to break it to the fans, but that quarterback that they have is a little bit more mobile than Justin Herbert. They got some big targets at wide receiver that were disappointing in that Dallas win. Got to start fast is what you said. How do you start fast against that Philadelphia defense and that Philadelphia offense?
Yeah, we're at home, so we'll be rocking. This is not going to be a problem. We got all the pieces. We are one of those fortunate teams where we can do anything we need to do to run to win the game. If we can't run it as well, we'll pass it. You know, if you're covering up our receivers, Pat's going to run it, and he's pretty good at running the ball, believe it or not. And defensively, our characteristic the last 2 or 3 years is we're a defensive team. So in Arrowhead, we're probably even better. So with that 12th man yelling behind us, that sea of red, it's going to be a good look. I'm looking for us to come out swinging, and it'll be a close game, obviously, but I feel like we bounce back in Arrowhead, and this is a Super Bowl rematch.
All right, DJ, we'll see if that happens this week against those Philadelphia Eagles, and the revenge tour continues, and the revenge game is Sunday at 3:25. We appreciate the time. Hopefully they get started fast, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
All right, y'all, take it easy.
See you, DJ. I had somebody reach out to me yesterday, and I don't know that I'm ready to make this leap yet, but I'm sure a lot of Chiefs fans are. I had somebody tell me, yes, well, now it's a must-win on Sunday.
Can I ask a somewhat sarcastic question?
Sure.
Will you still have 35-0 Chiefs on
Sunday?
Yeah,
of course. Okay. That never always changes. Always. Come on now.
That they're not going 17-0. Way to ruin my season-long bet.
I'm sure there were people out there that were saying that it's my fault that they lost because I said they go 17-0 and 35-0. But, I mean, is it a must-win game? No, but does it yes. I mean, it's the NFL, right? I mean, you lose a game in the NFL, and it's like, oh, my God, all hell's going to break loose. That's why I tell baseball fans all the time, stop watching baseball like you watch the NFL. You've got one game a week in the NFL. But, you know, the 0-2 start, teams making the playoffs, not the best. And so I understand why people would feel that way going in. But, my God, if they do lose this game to the Eagles, people could be jumping off that ship fast here in Kansas City, aren't they?
That was Derek Johnson, brought to you by Community American Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, Community Credit Union, invested in you. Mac, it is that time of the day where everybody that drops their kids off at school, they love this segment because they love you more than they love us. So let's get into one word.
one word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
All right, a loaded one word after what was a packed NFL and football weekend. Woo!
Go, Pack, go. Go, Pack, go.
Yeah, do you say Pat or Pack?
Pack.
Both.
Yeah, I mean, Bills are winning the Super Bowl, Chiefs aren't making the playoffs, and the Packers are going to be an NFC championship.
Damn right.
And Aaron Rodgers is back.
He never left.
Yeah.
You know what? You did that, so let's hear from Aaron Rodgers. They beat the Jets 34-32. Yes. It was the game of the day until Sunday night. We'll get to that game as well.
You spoke about the meeting with Aaron Glenn on McAfee a few months
still
ago.
On this.
Beating him, is there significance in that, since he basically told you to your face that he didn't think you were right for that team?
Yes, that's what he did.
So there's significance in beating him for you?
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
I love it. I like that a lot.
Oh, Team Rodgers all of a sudden.
No, I'm not Team Rodgers. I will say, fun. Sports needs stuff like that. I hate the political correctness, always talking up a team, always saying nice things. That's real human emotion right there from Aaron Rodgers. Have you ever been in a spot where somebody told you they didn't want you anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whatever it is, it's the worst feeling in the world. And regardless of what Aaron Rodgers has accomplished in his career, how much money he's made, being told that somebody doesn't want you anymore stings. I like the revenge for Aaron Rodgers. That's human, man. That's a human reaction that he had.
And your one word again is what?
Fun.
Fun. Interesting. Because I'd like to know how long that reporter had that question in the holster.
Well, since Aaron Rodgers was cut, you know, since March.
And he, it's interesting. I don't mind it. I think that's great audio there from Lord Baelish of the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. Because I wonder if that question gets brought up in 7 weeks when they play the Packers on October 26th. Mm-hmm. Sunday Night Football, Pittsburgh, Green Bay.
How did it end there? Does anybody really? I mean, it's been so long
now. They drafted Jordan Love. They said, you're out the door.
But
he was there for 2 or 3 years.
With Love, right?
Won 2 MVPs. I'd say it ended okay.
It ended the same way it ended with Brett Favre. They drafted his replacement. They let him kind of marinate in the system, understand it. And it was like the writing was on the wall. Like, hey, in 2 years, we're going to move on to this guy and we're going to let you go. And
was it nasty, though? Like it was. The Jets was nasty. There's
for
no
both
doubt.
Sides.
Yeah,
yes.
For both sides.
Yeah, he's acting like it was one side. Hey, dude, you had the coaches fired. You had them bring all your friends, and then you lost every game, and you act like you were the one who was wrong.
Well, you also said you would like to have a guy tell you face-to-face whether you're going to be there or not.
Right, and he did.
Face-to-face, and
now
didn't come to you. You went to him.
Right, and now you're mad that
he's
you had to
so
fly
funny.
There on a private jet. No, I like it. I love the way he manipulates things. It's good for the league.
MVP. That was my one word, manipulate.
Yeah, it's good for the league. I really like it. He's a prominent figure. We pay attention to him. But I'm just wondering, like, in Green Bay, I don't think it ended, obviously, like it did with the Jets. They kind of knew it was going to end. I wonder if there are hard feelings there. There probably are. It's, again, human nature, you know?
Got to be hard feelings for the Ravens last night. Oh, boy.
It's up for a game-winning field goal. From 32 yards, Prater made it. Prater on the Bills. Open their final season in this stadium with a stunning comeback win.
Came down 15 points, came back down from 15 points in the final 3 minutes and change. 41-40 final. Buffalo wins.
NFL is my one word because that is as NFL as it gets. My wife yelled at me last night for turning the game off 40-25. I said, it's over. I'm going to bed. This is not past. Oh, my God. I woke up to a text from Kurt Nelson saying, I can't believe they gave up 40 and won a game. I'm like, oh, my God. They came back and won that game. So NFL to me, just when you think you got this thing figured out, you don't.
Historic. I think I saw True Green Thumb, our buddy, tweeted out, that's the first time in NFL history a game has ended 41-40.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Never had an ending like that. Another word you could say is chiefed, right? Not because I was in the garage,
But that was the way the Chiefs always beat people. When you think it's over, here comes that MVP quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, that just rips your heart out and gives it to Harrison Butker at the end of the day. Josh Allen did all of that. 40-25, 3:59 left in the game, willed his team back, was the absolute hero, almost over 400 yards, rushed a touchdown, threw some touchdowns, looked like him.
He looked great.
Look out, Buffalo is on their own revenge tour for the seventh year in a row.
Are they ever going to get that guy any help, though? I mean, like, it feels like Josh Allen has to do everything by himself.
Keon Coleman looked good.
Yeah.
That was a good day for him from the second
receiver.
You know
what also helped Josh Allen that game? This is weird. You know what helped Josh Allen that game? An elusive running back that can do it all.
Great offensive line.
Crazy that we were talking about that the day after the Super Bowl. You know, the Chiefs haven't won since the early part of February. Crazy.
No, January.
January.
Yeah, they lost every preseason game. Yep. They lost the Super Bowl, and they lost this game.
I mean, goodness.
They're cooked.
It's if you're Clark Hunt, you got to do soul searching today, I'm sure. Royals. He says with jest.
Royals are two games out playing Cleveland tonight, 5:40.
How you doing? Mike Parsons, game-sealing sack in his first ever game as a Green Bay Packer.
Twist, another twist. You go up, under, and look at
who has the
effort,
better call here.
The speed, the closing ability, the bend. Micah Parsons, you're in Green Bay, and they are happy.
And?
Number one for number one.
Okay.
Gosh, they're so cheesy. Packers look
great.
Yeah,
but you like it.
It's fun.
Like
it's fun.
It's like a Hallmark movie. Why am I watching
around,
this?
Bending. Oh, my gosh, Jim.
That's a good one word to use. Hallmark movie, like predictable. You know, like you just knew Micah Parsons was going to do something big. You knew he was going to have his moment. That's the way the NFL works, man. You see those moments. Last night, you see Josh Allen, the guy that they're trying to get to take over for Patrick Mahomes, have the night that he had, the biggest trade that we've seen in the NFL in years. He has a big-time sack last night. I love that stuff. Dude, like, I don't mind Hallmark movies. I can't believe I said that out loud. You know what's going to happen. You feel good. That's the NFL. You were waiting for that moment for that one player, and we got it last night from Micah Parsons, and we got it from Josh Allen. So that was fun.
My one word here is parody. Dallas was one defensive player away from stopping Jalen Hurts run all over them in that defensive unit. We saw the trade details. They were just like, here's a first, second, third, first. Here's the rest of our history in drafts. We just want Micah Parsons. Absolutely not. How did Green Bay close that game out? Micah Parsons sacked Jared Goff, who was trying to squiggle away from him. Didn't happen. Green Bay won because they had a big defensive play from a big defensive player. Parody.
Friday Chiefs game, one word.
Over.
I mean, honestly, the season, the game.
No, the game. It's over. We move on. And I think they got a pretty good wake-up call. We're not the only ones that know they need to run the football more. We're not the only ones that know number 74 is not very good right now. We're not the only ones that know Xavier Worthy got blown up by a Mack truck. I mean, it looked like the Limu Emu commercial where the guys tackle each other on the field. So everybody knows what's going on. They're not sitting around waiting for us to bring the heat on Monday morning. And Andy's taking notes. Well, I better fix this because Bob and Dusty said so. You know, they know what's going on.
My one word for that Chiefs game is sucked.
Big bundle of suck, Dustman.
Yeah, big bundle of suck because it looked like the first
maybe
half.
Maybe found him recently. Is he all right?
I think he's fine. He was here
I
Sunday
talked to him
morning
yesterday.
Oh, takes. You did? Okay.
Yeah, we talked Chiefs.
He was ripping the takes on Sunday morning.
Okay, good.
But no, I would say that game sucked. It was deflating. It was terrible. It looked a lot like the Super Bowl in the first half. The
Felt team, like it.
The Worthy injury, you could tell, like, sent a shockwave.
Well, they
everybody.
Had a lot in for Worthy, dude. Like the whole playbook was, like, dedicated to Worthy for that first game, and then he's taken out.
Yeah.
One word on the Royals weekend. Two games out.
I wish they would have won yesterday.
Mm-hmm. 5-1 loss yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday stunk. But, hey, look, you're two games out, and we're sitting here on the 8th of September. Keep going, man. And now you got a big series with the Guardians, and then after that you got a big series with the Phillies.
My one word is confused.
That's a good word to
because
use.
I don't understand. And again, I'm not calling out Q here, so I don't want to sound this way, but like Carter Jensen and Jack Caglione, obviously we know who they are, the Carter Cags connection, they're best friends. They came up together again when they expanded the rosters. They played a right-handed pitcher yesterday, and they came off a night where Cags looked great. Jensen had his first hit, first RBI. That was special. And then you get a right-handed pitcher in a playoff race, and they don't play at all. Like, Cags gets a pinch hit, and it's a 13-pitch at-bat walk. Like, why aren't they in there against the righty? I'm so confused by that. Like, I don't know. I don't get it.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. I mean, you have two left-handed bats in there that have been a little bit of a spark in the game before, and you got a chance to sweep the Twins to be one game out. And you saw what Seattle did yesterday. They won like 18-7 or something like that.
They just scored again. Yeah, big dumper just hit another.
So now you get Cleveland Monday,
Tuesday. The Seahawks yesterday.
Yeah, they did. How many NFL teams scored less than the Mariners yesterday? Detroit definitely did. The Texans definitely did. The Browns, the Bengals.
Man, the Bengals. Whew.
I mean, who else is on that list?
Giants.
No, what? Yeah, the Giants are on that list. That's five off the top of my head NFL teams that scored less than the Mariners did yesterday.
Yeah, which is crazy. You can't give up 27 because only six teams scored 27 or more, which is crazy. And two of them were in one game, Jets Steelers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nuts. A lot of work to do.
Yeah, they got a lot of work to do. It almost felt like, too, just like going back to that last play and seeing Chris Jones, like it looked like a kid that was so excited for an opportunity, he didn't care. He was just excited to be on the field. And that can't happen. Like, and I would imagine after, okay, you got that first game jitters out of your system, maybe kind of reset everybody like, oh my God, we need more effort. We need to be better. We just can't throw our helmets out there. I know there was a lot of disappointed people in the locker room, you know, after the game, a lot of players were not happy from what I understand about what went on the field. So hopefully all of that, having the long weekend, kind of sparks everybody and kind of resets their body, if you will, you know, and they need that. They need a body resetting. I think there was a little bit of fool's gold, but again, with this team, the fool's gold I'm talking about is you had a game plan that was designed for number one.
And then
number one gets taken out on the third play and it changes everything. And the difference is when your number one receiver went out last year, you had number one to step up. Your number one receiver's already out for 6 weeks, and then the guy that was going to step up gets injured on the third play. Now you're talking about your third best wide receiver legitimately being your best wide receiver. It's hard.
Coming up on the other side, one wedding, two reactions. Bob will tell you exactly what we mean by that here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Morning, Kansas City. This is Trey Smith, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Blow your socks off here, Mac. Are you ready for this one? I already read it to Dusty, so he's not going to be amused as much as you are on this one, okay? Listen to this. This is from our friends on the FanDuel on X, formerly Twitter.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones and the Colts today, right? First drive, field goal. Second drive, touchdown. Third drive, touchdown. Fourth drive, field goal. Fifth drive, field goal. Sixth drive, touchdown. Seventh drive, field goal. You're laughing. Hold on, please, okay? And I want to look
wait,
at but wait.
There's more.
Oh, there's a lot more. There is a lot more, okay? Calm down.
Okay, taking a breath.
Take a breath.
Yep. Okay.
Don't look like you're just kind of in shock a little bit, okay? No other quarterback this century has scored on every possession of a game.
What? What? Did they just sign DeAndre Hopkins?
The guy who trips over himself. Oh, my.
That is fun with trivia, my friends.
That is. That's great.
You know that is an answer to a trivia question.
You know what that is? Stats.
That's stats, Meg.
No other quarterback has scored on every drive they've had this century. Now, it's only been 25 years, still, obviously, but still. You would have thought Mahomes, Allen, Burrow,
hey, man,
Lamar,
someone?
Peyton. Tom,
someone,
somebody would have got out there scored points on every one of their possessions. Daniel Jones is the only quarterback this century to score on every drive.
I love football.
But that's a baseball stat. That's like the Ted Williams stat that I was telling you about when Mac was gone a couple of weeks ago. Ted Williams is the only person to come to at bat, I think it was, three times in one inning and not get a hit.
Wow. One inning? Jeez.
Right. Ted Williams, if I'm That's not crazy. Mistaken, and I saw it on X.
Or the other stat to it, like they walked him three times or something?
He like walked twice and something else, or maybe, it was like a sack.
Either way, it's really bizarre.
It's bizarre, yeah. You bat three times in one inning and you don't get a hit. And then I think the other stat that I saw about Ted Williams, it's wild, he never led the league in hits.
Damn.
Yeah, average, yes.
Hits, no.
You know what's weird is one time this guy named Fernando Tatis, he had two grand slams in one inning,
and then he
gave birth to his son, who would later become a stud.
That's right.
So you had a wedding this weekend with two reactions?
Yeah, so yeah, shout out Josh and Laura, great wedding, and we'll do more about that in the brioche of the weekend, but like this was one where you could just see the love, man. It was awesome. It's so much fun, and we just had a great time. So shout out Josh and Laura. They're getting ready to go on their honeymoon today. And so I had two reactions from people at the wedding about the Chiefs on Friday night. And I want to know where everybody kind of falls on this one, because I do think you're either one or the other on this one. Guy number one, I like what I saw from the Chiefs. Clean up a few things, we'll be fine. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I like that. That's kind of where I fall. Guy number two, oh my God, I'm completely worried. I just don't know what's going to happen. We're screwed. And two guys, same wedding, completely different responses. Which guy are you?
Oh, I'm guy two.
You're guy two.
Yeah, okay. You have no running game. Your secondary is kind of questionable. Your defensive line gets no pressure. Your wide receiver one is suspended for another 5 weeks. Your wide receiver two is what I would think is out for the year. I am 100% worried.
You're guy number two. What are you, Mac, on this one? Are you guy number one or are you guy number two on this one?
Yeah, I'm guy number two right now.
You are?
Yeah, no, for sure. I would be very worried, maybe is a little much, but yeah, no, I'm worried. I mean, this team is different than years past. I don't think this is like, oh yeah, they'll figure it out, they'll get fixed, and yeah, it's Mahomes and company. Like, this team's a little different.
Let me ask you guys this question. What's different about what we saw on Friday night than what we saw against the Lions a couple of years ago in the opener, where Chris Jones was sitting up in the booth next to those, you know, nitwits in the bad JCPenney suits when they lost that game to Detroit? What's the big difference for you in that game versus what we saw the other night against the Chargers? Because I think they're very mirror image, if you will, of games. Nothing left to be desired. Not a lot that you really want to take away from that game. It's a loss. You just want to kind of move on from that thing. It was just a bad opener, right? Just a bad performance. What's the difference for you guys from that Lions opener versus that opener?
Last year's Lions?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Well, 2 years ago, you beat yourselves because Kadarius Toney dropped two massive plays. One ended up in a pick six, and you had your best offensive player in a booth with two nerds.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of excuses there. This one, yeah.
And Travis Kelce was out.
And Travis Kelce was out.
But also, Rashi Rice and, yep, you know, Xavier Worthy were out of this game, right? Yeah.
So
Kelsey's coming back the next week.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And I will say in this game, and I do go back to what DJ had to say earlier about how, you know, it's a division game. We lose track of that. Correct. You played in Brazil. Correct. Mm-hmm. Those are whatever. But that Chargers team, from the flip of the coin, was not afraid of your Chiefs team.
No, they weren't.
There was no fear in their eyes. There was no nothing. There was, you know, nothing there. It was a well-coached game by Jim Harbaugh. They didn't run the ball. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like Omarion Hampton, who was supposed to have 100 yards, like Saquon Barkley in the Super Bowl. He ran for 57 yards.
Mm-hmm.
It was their quarterback that beat you and your defense that allowed them to just sit back and pick apart your defense. This secondary is a question mark. This defensive line is a question mark. Bob, they looked slow. Mm-hmm. They looked lost. And that is a Spags defense that has always been in Spags we trust. Bend, don't break. They bent a lot, and they bent too much, and they gave up too much time in possession. Again, the Chargers almost 6 minutes with the ball longer than the Chiefs. That's crucial. The Chargers took the Chiefs out of their gameplay. And I get it. Xavier Worthy is out. But till my ears have bled, have always heard the Chiefs say, yeah, it's next man up mentality. We know what we're going to do if this happens. We always think of the doom and gloom, because if it does happen, which it can in the NFL very easily, we've got to move on. They did not move on.
No.
They were shocked. They looked lost. They looked slow. They looked out of place. And it's not like it gets any easier, not just next week, but for the next 7 weeks.
No,
it does not get any easier.
It is not an easy stretch of schedule. But also, too, in that game against the Lions, that's where we were first blessed with Juwan Taylor starting early, too, right? Like, that was the game that kind of shined the spotlight on all of that as well. So you had the Juwan Taylor stuff in the Lion game. You had the Juwan Taylor stuff of this game. I thought in the Lion game, they kind of looked out of sorts as well. And I think sometimes for this team, like, they've had so much success, I think there are certain times where you just think you're going to win, right? You Bob Fesco the thing up, right? You believe your press clippings. You're 35-0. You're 17-0. You start to believe a lot of that stuff. And sometimes you get jacked in the mouth, and then you're like, oh, okay, I totally get it now. I'm not doing what I need to be doing. We got to figure this thing out. Secretly, I'm sure that there has been stuff that Andy Reid has been preaching in practice, because I know for a fact when Bill Self was, you know, running roughshod over the Big 12 and they were winning 14 in a row, he'd chuckle at times when they would lose a game, because he'd be like, see, now you're going to start listening to what I have to say. This was before NIL and players actually cared, and they would listen to the head coach, right? Now we're in the pro ranks, and I guarantee you there is stuff that's going on with this team that Andy Reid has wanted them to be diligent about. They weren't diligent about it. They went out there, they got their ass beat on Friday night, and now Andy Reid can open his meeting on Monday morning and say, this is the stuff I've been telling you guys about. Are you going to listen now? Because it didn't go so well, you doing it your way. And so it happens in the first game. It's so magnified, like every first game of every season. If this was a week 7 game, we'd all be like, that's it's week 7, no big deal. But it's the first one, and it didn't leave a great taste in all of our mouths. And we need that game to come on Saturday or Sunday quicker than we've ever needed another game for the Chiefs.
From the 816, somebody on I-70 is guy number 2 and 3. Some guy driving to work on I-70 with his Chiefs flag flying upside down.
Oh, no. Is that on purpose, or is that like...
Oh, come on. You don't put a Chiefs flag in your car upside down on accident. He woke up Saturday morning and said, the hell with this.
Yeah, he did. He's mad. He is mad at that. And so, like, yeah, first game sucked, but you know what? We're still the Chiefs, right? We're still this team that we still have to believe in and have faith in because of one bad performance. They happen all the time. It's just we have been so spoiled, we're not used to it, and we don't know how to respond when we get our ass kicked.
I thought the team would know how to respond a little bit better. They had four months to think about it, dwell on it. We talked about it, revenge tour. This roster's better. It's deeper. Mm-hmm. And then they go out flat, and that's just it's frustrating.
I wonder if guy number two said
Chiefs sucks, I'm frustrated, which I'm guy number two. Yeah. I'm pissed off. We've talked about the same problems for now 3 seasons. Nothing's fixed. Running game sucks. We have offensive line issues. This defensive line, Mike Dana, Derek Nnadi, and Charles Omeniyi, 68 pass rush snaps, Bob. You want to know their combined win percentage? 0% win rate. 68 pass rush snaps. There's not a Rashee Rice coming up from suspension in week 6 on that defense. There's no one to save them.
Nope.
Jadeveon Clowney?
But we don't know about Law and Gelati. We don't know if they're going to be good. I mean, it's one game into an NFL career for those guys. So we don't know. Like, you're not going to hit the ground running and be a finished product in week 1 for whatever team that you are. Look, Buffalo, like, they won that game. Fantastic.
Yes.
They got to be looking in the mirror going, holy crap, we had to score 41 just to get a win over them. And they're lucky that dude missed the field goal, you know, for Baltimore late, clanked off the upright. If that goes in, they don't win that game. But if you're Buffalo this morning, you just gave up 40, man. Like, great, you got the win, and that's important, and that's all that matters. But is that Buffalo defense going to be sustainable for the rest of the year? What about Cincinnati? Like, if you're waking up in Cincinnati, yeah, we got the win, thank God. We scored 17 points on the Browns? Like,
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
No, that can't be a great feeling right now. And if you're Baltimore, you're like, damn, we scored 40. Both Baltimore and Buffalo are waking up this morning going, holy crap, what the hell just went on there last night? Like, there's a lot of warts on a lot of teams right now in the NFL. That's what happens after week 1. So you can't get too high. You can't get too low. If it starts to become a pattern, then it's something that we need to discuss.
Coming up next, it's the most self-deprecating segment of our show. It is What's in the Script Recap. Boy, were we wrong. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Trent McDuffie, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.